If you have the Word of God, please, let's take the Bible and turn to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 5. We'll start here. Mark 5, then we'll go to Luke 8. This past year, we spent a great deal of time looking at our emotions and how they lead us. And I got to thinking about the holiday season. Oftentimes, people have a very difficult time this time of the year because families are often divided and maybe even to the point of feuding, which is sad. But the point is, for everyone, there's maybe some sadness in certain parts of their heart and life when it comes to this time of the year when some others may be experiencing more joy or in their life and this kind of a thing. And I just want to point out some things here this morning. And let's go to Mark chapter number 5, if you would please. Everybody get settled down. We'll look at verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not." If you will go to Luke chapter number 8, and let's pick up this same passage. Luke also records this in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Would you have this guy over for dinner? Would you? Not 1 ounce of clothes on him. Let me ask you something else. Would you approach him on the street? It'd be one of those awkward situations where you would tell your kids, "Let's go the other direction." But not with the Master. If there was anybody on the planet that understood emotionally what this man was going through, it was Jesus. You ever felt rejected? Well, our Master knows how that feels. Let's go to John chapter number 1. Let's look at a verse, just one verse here. You see, we think that Jesus just didn't have any trouble or emotional strain on him until he got to the cross. And that's contrary to the truth. His very birth brought controversy. His very presence brought controversy. His very presence caused people to reject him. John chapter number 1, verse number 11, the Bible says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." That's rejection, my friends. You see, Jesus, when he met this man of Gadara, and he knew what this man was experiencing emotionally. And we talk about Jesus this time of the year being born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger, basically a what would some would call a dug out of a side of a hill where animals would be stuck and put. He was born there, and we get the wonderful story of the Magi coming and finding and following the star and all that, and that has a lot of, if I may use the word, mystique to it, and we get all about that. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus was born, and he was going to live a life of rejection. And there's not a person in this room that has not experienced rejection, and there's not a person in here that hasn't experienced, because it's not something that happens when you're 20 or 40 or 50. You can experience it when you're 5 or 6. And I've learned something over life. It doesn't matter when you experience it. It's a hurtful thing. I was telling the Sunday school class, and I may have mentioned it here, when I went home for the Thanksgiving holidays, where I used to go to families, I had several families. Please come see us for Thanksgiving. Only one out of several, when I'm saying several, 4 or 5, asked me over for Thanksgiving dinner. That was my sister. And I thought, you know, this is, the whole thing has changed. You see, sometimes we experience rejection because our direction is different than the people we used to be around. And this is a good thing, because what it does, it takes us from the old props, the old weaning, the old comforts that we used to have, because that God has an experience, a journey for us in this life, and we're used to being around those who've always accepted us. Then there's not much growing that we can do in a known environment. So oftentimes we have to go through these points of rejection, because the Bible says about Jesus, he was a man acquainted with grief. I don't want to know about you, but when I feel rejected, it brings a little bit of grief into my heart. And if it's a personal thing, a personal thing in the sense of someone that's really close to you, this rejection can get so bad that it can drive people literally mad. He said, Pastor, I don't believe that. I want you to think about Cain and Abel. When Abel brought his offering unto God, and God accepted his offering, but when Cain brought his offering to God, what did God do with Cain's offering? What did he do with it? He rejected it. And because of that rejection, we have recorded in the scripture the first murder in human history. So don't say that rejection doesn't have some extreme behavior often attached to it. Now, you might not go that far as actually hurting someone, and I trust that you will not, but nevertheless, our heart can hurt that bad just all the same, because we have experienced this thing of rejection. And many times in our life, because of Christ or not because of it, we have experienced rejection. But here's someone who knows what it is like. When Jesus met this man who had been cutting himself, this man who had embarrassed himself, he was walking around nude. We can't get our mind wrapped around that. And people would come and try to chain him, and he would break these chains. This man was in a serious situation, in a serious emotional state. You see, oftentimes rejection comes because you and I may not live up to someone else's standard of love or standard of expectation. And that is a hurtful thing. But what we have to realize is, we're not here to necessarily to live up to people's standard. We're here to live up to God's standard. Now, that is a high standard, but with the Holy Spirit and yielding to God, we can reach that. God doesn't command us to do or be something we cannot. He did say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's a tall order. But when we're pleasing God, people should be pleased with us also. You see, God didn't send Jesus and give him on a conditional love. It was unconditional love. And this thing of rejection, it goes deep, and the wounds are deep. It is an attitude of, I'll love you if you'll be a blessing to me. I'll love you if you are some benefit to me. You see, this idea of rejection, it will absolutely bring an idea of separation with people you desire to be around in life. And those that are rejected oftentimes pull away. And here's where it gets really tricky. Oftentimes you'll pull away from the very path that God has for you because this thing of rejection is so powerful, it'll deviate you off course for what God has for you in life. I want you to think about King Saul. How many of you know who King Saul is? You think about David. Now, was David rejected or received into Saul's kingdom? At first he was received, right? But then what happened? He's rejected. David could have just threw his hands up and said, you know what? I know God had called me, but Saul, the king, doesn't approve of my existence, so I'm just going to go back and tend to the sheep. That is not what David did. David stayed on course for God. You see, this thing of rejection, not only is it something that will hurt our own hearts and minds, but it can take us off course in life and our decisions that we make. You see, oftentimes because we're rejected, every little sensitivity hurts. You could ask a dog to come here and pat your leg. Say, come here, little dog, and that dog may run away from you. It's like, oh, I can't even get a stray dog to come and over here and sit beside me. What I'm saying is, every little thing becomes sensitive to you. You see, this man had gotten used for everybody to reject him. And the only place he could dwell was among dead people. This time of the year, a lot of people don't have the joy that you and I perhaps have because they're dealing with some severe rejection in their life. And it's a sad thing because if you notice here, this man, the Bible says here, let's read Mark chapter number 5 here again. The Bible says in verse number 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You know, when things are cluttered, that means things aren't clear. And this unclean spirit, polluted, as in, if we could say, his mind, he couldn't understand things, why they were, why they happened as they did, why this rejection has happened. You see, what rejection does and how Satan uses our emotion, this emotion of rejection, it keeps us from the most intimate relationships that we can have. You can be friends with someone, but you'll draw a line in that friendship. You can be married to someone and still have lines in that marital relationship. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand right there. But how can we be open and transparent before God when we have lines drawn? If we have lines drawn with people, we probably have lines drawn with God. Christ didn't have any lines drawn with people. I'm not preaching this hard and heavy this morning. I hope you stay with me. Because, young person, if you haven't had your heart broke, you're going to have it broken. Amen. You may ask some little girl out and say, hey, can I have your phone number? No! You know? And you may get rejected. And rejection, by the way, it's a part of life, but how you handle it is important. Everybody gets rejected. Some people go off the deep end. By the way, you want me to tell you another story, real true story, how deep and painful this is? A lot of these school shootings that happened in the 90s and early 2000s is because some of these kids were rejected. And they actually made out lists, some of the most popular kids in school, and that's who they went and shot. These popular kids had rejected their friendship. Don't pretend that this is not an important topic. We have the first murder in human history. We have people getting killed today because of this one thing about rejection. I'm glad that Jesus, when he died, he had his arms stretched out wide. And he does not reject anyone. You see, and us as Christian people, we have to clarify and often get the polluted mind, the polluted uncleanness thoughts out of people's hearts and mind, because what it's doing, it is robbing people of their most precious intimacy in life with people. Sometimes children are not given the affection because the parent has felt rejection. Sometimes they don't give that to the spouse or vice versa. I'm just telling you here today that this thing of rejection can impact many areas of our life, because you know what? When our heart hurts, we begin to shut down. True? When our heart begins to hurt, things get confused and we begin to shut down. If you notice here also, the Bible says in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs. You know, he didn't have really popular friends. They weren't going anywhere in life. No pun intended. But have you ever noticed a group of people that act different and maybe do different things with their body? They kind of gravitate together. Why is that? They find a commonality in being accepted. You see, and this, we see this all in society. Why is this happening? You see, because, verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. You know what this is illustrating for us? This is the anger and the bitterness that comes with the rejection. And in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go right here. You know, the first really time I began to experience rejection because of a title that I bore was when I got in law enforcement. I could get around friends, and I began to notice they act different, significantly different around me after I started wearing a badge, carrying a badge. I just started noticing I wasn't one of the boys anymore. Now I represented authority. And even my family, and I experience it even now. And I experience it even now when I in the ministry, people find out I'm a pastor. They're like, oh, that's interesting. That's the phrase they always use. That's interesting. You know? And and I already know what's going to happen. They're going to distance themselves from me. They'll be kind and nice, but there's a line drawn. There's a line drawn. And that's called rejection. But we have to learn that you can get bitter about this thing. You can get angry about it. Young person, you can get mad because some person rejected you and go off the deep end and get mad at God. Some of our most vilest rock stars out there used to be in Baptist youth groups, and they were rejected in those youth groups. I could call you names. I'm not going to do it. But they got rejected as a young person. How you handle this rejection determines your future path in this life. This is an important matter. And parents, I hope you take notes here today and get a hold of this. Now notice this. Verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You remember that little cliche you used to have when you were in first grade? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will what? Never hurt me. Lying the whole time. It did hurt, didn't it? It did hurt. And those words begin to draw a line, and there's a rejection. And you can experience this in first grade. You can experience this in the 12th grade. You can experience this at 40 years old. You can experience it on the job. You can experience it with family. You can experience it with your spouse. You can experience it everywhere. But listen, you'll never experience it with Jesus Christ. Never. He loves all. We don't have to get cleaned up to come to Him. He'll do the cleaning after we come to Him. Amen. And what He don't like, He'll point out. And what he points out doesn't mean he rejects you. It means he's rejecting something that's not going to benefit you. He still loves you and I. And so, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, because when you get rejected, oftentimes an attitude comes and then words begin to flow. And what happens next is in verse number 30, is grieve not the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God cannot flow and work and bless in our lives if we're experiencing this rejection and our heart and our emotions have been wounded to the point it is affecting everything in our life. Now the Holy Spirit of God is being affected in our life. Now God really starts paying attention to this, because now we're affecting the part of the triunity of God, the Trinity of God, the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, notice this, let all, what's this word here? Bitterness. You see, if you trace the progression, and there is a progression, there is an escalation in these words here. I'm not going to go over it today, but I have done it in the past several times. But when you get to the last word, what's the last word in this verse right here? Malice. You often find that word connected with murder in our legal documents. Malice of what? Forethought. This is how bad it can get in somebody's life. I remember reading an article years ago. This lady parked outside of a hotel waiting on her husband to come out after an adulterous affair. She was sitting in his BMW. When he stepped off, she hit the gas, ran over him. And if I remember the article right, that wasn't good enough. She ran over him again. Now, the rascal may have deserved some type of a negative stimuli. I'll go that far. But the fact is, where did all that come from? She was rejected. Another woman was preferred above her. Do you see how far and nefarious this thing of rejection can go in our lives? Now, you might not ever do something like that, but your heart can go and descend to levels you never thought because of some rejection. Maybe something you're experiencing right now. And your heart is wounded because of this thing. Listen, well, this man saw Jesus. The Bible says that he ran to him and he worshiped him. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Jesus didn't reject him. Jesus didn't say, get away from me. Jesus didn't say, hey, I don't want anybody like you around me. This man was cutting himself. He had a problem. He was confused. He had an unclean spirit. He had an identity problem. There was no robe on this man. He was naked. And in that culture, people often dressed with certain robes and certain tassels, and that identified their heritage of who they were. This man had no identity. I'm here to tell you something. When you begin to lose, your family begins to reject you for Christ or whatever, for whatever reason, let me tell you something. You lose some of your heritage, some of your identity. Yeah. That is a painful thing. This man didn't have a robe to even identify what tribe or what community or where he came from, if you would. So he had an identity crisis. And you see, that is a wound in people's life. This is where we often get the bitterness from. And you notice this, he cried day and night. His spirit was never at rest. And when you have a wounded heart, your spirit, I don't care, you can laugh today, you get to dwelling on that rejection. All those feelings come back, don't they? They come back. Why? Because the heart has been wounded and the heart is healing. Jesus didn't come just to give us salvation only. He came to heal our souls. He came to heal our souls. You see, he feels unheard, so he cries. He feels unwanted, so he cries. Now, you may have not experienced this to the point in your life where it has caused you major trouble. But I would venture to say that probably 50% of you have experienced something like this where it's really impacted you in a negative way. If God has allowed that in your life, there's an education He wants to give you behind it. But know this, just because that person or those people have rejected you, Jesus has always been standing there with arms wide open to love you, to accept you, to build you. You know, you can get rejected in a professional respect as well. There's so many forms of this thing, but nevertheless, it hurts the heart at the end of the day. And you can see the pain in this man because he's cutting himself. You ever heard people doing that? That is why there's pain there. And that pain is demonstrated outwardly. Some people might not know how to express the pain, but the pain is real all the same. I don't know if you are experiencing this or have, and it's still a lingering issue. Or maybe you know someone that has experienced this. It is a serious matter. And I want you to come, if you will, this morning, pray for those folks. Because I've given you several illustrations how far this thing can go. It's nothing to be played with. It's nothing to be played with. Because this bitterness would drive people to do things that is just mind-boggling at times. And if you can get people to do that, Satan can use it to get you out of God's will. He could use it to destroy your life. Maybe not in a moment, but in time. If you're destroyed, you're destroyed. Satan wins. I want you to really think about this today. I didn't come in here and preach this hard because this is a very sensitive thing. I've experienced the rejection. It's a part of what I do. It's a part of what some professions do. People don't like doctors till they need one, right? People don't like law enforcement till they need one. Same way with Pat. It's just part of life for some. But you may experience it more on a personal level. Whatever the case is, this man, he ran to Jesus and he worshiped him. Will you do that this morning? Because you're dealing with someone who knows what it's like to be rejected. And Jesus knows all about that. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray today that you will take this simple, soft message, but yet biblical. Apply it to our hearts and minds. There's wounds here today that are going to affect future relationships if they're not dealt with. If that healing balm of Gilead, the touch of the Master's hand, has not been placed in the right area of our life, the right area of our heart to heal our emotions. Lord, we have an identity crisis. We get confused. There's emotions that are triggered, anger and bitterness. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to move forward with these matters. Help us to run to you this morning as this man did. This man was in pain. He was rejected. He was a sojourner, not accepted. And Lord, no doubt there's some here today who have experienced rejection. Some young person, perhaps. Some person on a professional level. Maybe a job was turned down or something like that. These things are very serious. And Lord, you know it because this is in the Bible to help us to see and deal with these things. Father, have your will and way today. We pray you touch lives this morning for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.